I'm Addick. My name is Reggie. I want to thank Frederick Gary for asking me. After I'd prodded and pushed for a minute. And then when the guy, he had two topics. And he asked me, he said, well, which one do y'all want to do? And I looked at my wife and I said, well, we can do the inside job. I said, I think I know a little something about that one. So, and it was her first time, and I wanted her to do something that she was familiar with. But people that I told, they said, well, you need to leave her alone and let her do what she do. So I stopped talking about it to her about it yesterday. My clean date is January 7th, 1996. And the reason why I say 1996 was, I was 95, was Christmas of 95 was the last time I went to rehab. But I didn't know who I was. I didn't know where I was. I share this in my area, and I know they're getting tired of listening to it, but I weighed 115 pounds. I had hair down, doesn't seem like it now, but I had hair down my waist. I had a pair of tennis shoes that I hadn't taken off in about 6 months. And when I went to the rehab, they said, well, we don't have any room for you, Reggie. The lady said, if we let you go back out, what you gonna do? And I said, lady, what the hell you think I'm gonna do? And she rushed out the room, and in 15 minutes she came back. She said, well, we can send you over here to the mental hospital, and as soon as the bed come open, we'll come and get you. I heard that 100 times before. Somebody pulling my leg, shooting the breeze with me. I wanted to say no, but sidebar, I'm going to have to keep this pen in my hand because if I don't, I'm all over like this. And so if I hold this pen, I won't do all that. They took me over there. 72 hours, that lady came and got me. And that was December 95. But I was a physical wreck. So I couldn't go to the rehab until I went to the hospital. And so when I went to the hospital, they brought me back to rehab. That was January 7th, 1996. The first day that I was physically, and I hope you can catch this, the first day that I was physically drug free. Okay? Now, I was reading, I'm a big literature person. I love our literature. I know, and the inside job, I'm going to work my way around it, and I'm going to tell y'all why I love the literature. But it's something in chapter 10 about, to me, for me, it speaks about inside job, and it's the first paragraph. And if you don't mind, I'd like to read it. It says, as our recovery progressed, we became increasingly aware of ourselves and the world around us, our needs and wants, our assets and liabilities were revealed to us. We came to realize that we had no power to change the outside world. We could only change ourselves. The program of Narcotics Anonymous provided an opportunity for us to ease the pain of living through spiritual principles. I like to say a lot of times, people that know me, a sponsor, my people in my network, they say, Reggie, you're a piece of work. Because a lot of times I say what's on my mind, and I used to didn't care how it affected somebody else, or I didn't care how they took it. I would say stuff like, if it's in the literature, it must be true. That's what I would say. And this went on for a long time, you know, because I would read our basic text, I would read it every single day. Because I used to tell people I was sicker than most people. And I needed more help than most people. I said, I don't know where y'all came from, but where I came from, and I promised my wife I wouldn't curse, but where I came from, they used to tell me, you would have to shit or get off the pot. That's what they would tell me. And so I clung to this thing real, real hard. I didn't necessarily want to change my life. I just wanted to stop getting high. But I understood that stopping getting high and not changing my life wasn't going to amount to too much. Because I couldn't keep doing the same things that I was doing when I was getting high and not getting any kind of results. I couldn't go on and I couldn't hang out on the corner with all the other guys. I couldn't sit out behind, I'm from the country, so I don't see a lot of fire barrels around in places up here. I couldn't sit in the woods and sit around the fire barrel and drink Richard with the other guys. But that's what I didn't want to get high, but that's what I wanted to do. And I heard this in the program a lot. If I hang around, if I go to the barber shop enough times, I'm going to get a haircut. So eventually, I had to stop hanging around the fire barrel. Eventually, I had to find something to do. And they got this word here in Narcotics Anonymous, and it begins with the S. Anyway, it's service. And when I first came into the program and I would come to the meeting earlier, 10 minutes to 7 or 10 minutes to 8, I would see people hustling around, putting up chairs, hollering back, we need some more coffee, we don't have enough coffee cups. And I asked, what are they doing? They said, they're doing service work. I said, service work? He said, yeah, you'll get it. Setting up the literature. And one thing I really liked, one of the first meetings I went to, I sit way back in the back. This old guy came and got me. He might have been about 6'7", weighed about 208 pounds. White guy. He came, he got out of his seat, he turned around, he got out of his seat, looked back, and again, I guess he was looking at me, I don't know. He got out of his seat and walked back there. He said, come on, son, you need to go sit up here in the front row. And this is when the change started happening in my life. What I would ordinarily say was, who the F do you think he is going to come back here and get me, embarrass me in front of all these people, and sit me on the corner chair? That's the first chair. On the front row. I went to that meeting the next week. I didn't sit back there in the back again. You can believe that. And I sit up in the front. But we learn, and it might not seem like a lot, but I could sit up there in the front seat. Didn't have to look over anybody's head. I didn't have to turn around, look like that. I could look straight at that person, explaining the first step to me. I didn't have no distractions. Another thing they used to do, I wanted to open my mouth so bad, tell these people how I felt, who didn't mess with me, why that police officer stopped me, why my first wife kicked me out of the house. And by that time, the guy had became a sponsor. And a lot of times, early in my recovery meetings we used to go to, we had to raise our hands for the people to pick on you. I guess they, you know, people that were nonsense, they said, well, so I raised my hand. And he looked over. So I, just like a little boy, even though I was 44, 45 years old. But he keep telling me that. So already I'm building a resentment against my sponsor. And here's where the change come in. That inside job. Instead of hopping up out of the front seat on the first row and going out the door because I'm mad at him because he didn't want me to say nothing, I sit there on my hands and wait till the meeting over and ask him, why can't I share? And you know what he said? He said, Reggie, what do you have to share about? That's what he said. And he said, a matter of fact, I don't want you to open your mouth for a year. But this is that inside job. I had to think about now, might have been clean that time, maybe about 60 days, maybe 90 days. But I had to think back prior, 90 days prior, I was in the hospital with fluids running through my veins. But then they had to cut my tennis shoes off my feet. I hadn't had a bath, a good solid hot bath, in about 6 months. I had tinges in my hair. And now I want to open my mouth and tell these people I don't want to talk. So, as much as I wanted to say something, I said to myself, I said, well, maybe this NA thing might have something going for it. And just maybe, I need to be quiet and listen. And then when I tell people that, I said, that's in our literature. It talks about listening to learn and learning to listen. And that's exactly what I did. I didn't share till my first year anniversary. And then I thought, I'm big bad. I asked him, I said, well, what am I supposed to say? And you know what he told me? He said, you go up there and you give your experience, strength, and hope on these first 365 days. That's what he told me. And I think I began to change the first 30 days, the first 6 months, because I had lost everything. I left my wife, not this one. I tried it enough times to get a good one. And I left my hometown, someplace where and we always talk about the inside change. I left Raleigh far enough that if I really wanted to get back, I could have got on the highway and walked. But I didn't. And we hear the same things every time we go to the meetings. All the time. We were sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I have a sponsor. I'm not going to call his name. I love him to death. I like to hear him talk. I like to hear him share. And it seems like every time he gets up to share of his anniversary, tears comes in his eyes. I was at this anniversary, a friend of mine's anniversary. I think he had 8 years. And he was talking about crying. He was talking about how he felt. And I shared that sometimes my eyes get watery. And this guy was really crying. He wasn't just water coming down his eyes. He was really crying. And I felt some kind of way about that. And I said, I ain't got that yet. I have never actually just bawled and cried about how I felt at a meeting. But it made me feel some kind of way because a God that I know, a God that I love, a God that I see on a regular basis, and guys, excuse me for saying this, he was a bit more of a man than I was to let his true feelings show about how he felt. And what he can say, and what he does, it took more out of me than God ever put in him. And a lot of us been around here a long time, we think we know everything, we can talk the talk and walk the walk, but sometimes, and this is another part about this inside job, sometimes I have to sit and I have to keep my mouth shut because I don't know as much as I think I know. I don't know everything. You know, I don't have experience on everything. I have experience on fishing. I have experience on being married. We just celebrated 15 years of marriage. In February, I've been married 3 times. And this is what my first sponsor told me when we got together. And this is another inside job thing. I said, well, if God didn't want her in, I'm being smart because I'm still new in the program and I've started reading and listening and thinking I know everything. I said, well, if God didn't want her in my life, why did he put her in my life? He said, he put her in there maybe to aggravate your ass. But you still, I had to look at that. I had to go back on what happened prior. When I was married before, told my first wife I was going to shoot dope till the day I die. That's exactly what I told her. And that damn near came true. But I have learned in this program, I got something else I want to read. I told y'all I love this our literature. It says, and this comes out of more will be revealed. As we become more God-reliant and gain more self-respect, we realize that we don't need to feel so superior or inferior to anyone. Our real value is in being ourselves. Our egos, once so large and dominant, now take a back seat because we are in harmony with the loving God. We find that we lead richer, happier, and much fuller lives where we lose self-will. Now, and I can speak on it. 2008, I had a stroke that paralyzed my whole right side. I couldn't walk for a year, couldn't talk for a year, I could barely shave myself. It took everything I had, I thought, everything that made me who I was, took it away. Stopped going to meetings, hated everybody, didn't want to go nowhere. My wife went to work one day. I was talking today with a friend of mine. We lived in a 3-condo place. I fell down the steps in the basement. And I didn't think about trying to get up. I just assumed that I couldn't get up. So I laid down there 6 hours before she came home from work to help me up. Man, I'm going to hear this on the way back home to Frederick. She didn't ask me why I didn't try to get up or anything. She stopped working because I felt like I was an invalid. I felt like I couldn't do the things that I needed to do to get better. And even after I fell downstairs, I became a recluse. I didn't go anywhere. I'd take a shower, put my pajamas on, lay back down. And I guess until she got tired, she started going places and leaving me there. And then I realized that if I didn't get up and start doing some things for myself, this might be another blown marriage. Because I'm going to be sitting here by myself and she's going to be gone. So, as much as I didn't want to, I got up. I started getting myself dressed in the morning. If it took me 2 hours, then that's what it did. I started shaving. I learned how to shave with my left hand because this was my weaker side. And by doing that, I started to feel better about myself. And it said so right here. And even when I was sick, my ego was still this big. I'm sick. I can't do nothing by myself. She better do it for me. Because I did all this stuff for her, and I took care of her, and I pay all the bills, I go to work, and I do all that stuff like that. This helper better take care of me. And it talks about humility and being humble, you know, about, you know, the inside job. Talks about thinking less of yourself and more of somebody else, right? I had to think more of her than I thought about myself. I'm the one that's sick. She ain't sick. She taking care of me not because she need to, but because she want to. So get off your ass, Reggie, and do something. That's what I had to do. And I tell a lot of young people that be getting married, I said, look, buddy, a lot of times it ain't about love. It's about sacrifice. You have to believe that. And that love comes through that sacrifice. And today, and I don't mean to... If you're married out here, guys, please cover your ears, okay? But today, I can stand up here and I can truly say, without a shadow of a doubt, out of all I've learned through this program, that I am in love. Because it's the difference between loving somebody and being in love with somebody. I am truly in love with my wife. And if it hadn't have been for this program, I'm almost 100% sure I wouldn't be standing up here with her and she wouldn't be sitting down there with me. And that is that inside, we call it an inside job. I call it a little growth spurt every now and then. I usually don't date older women. Here's the hit. March 53, July 53. So what? I mean, I'll be 62 in a couple months. Did I straighten that up? I want to read one more thing. Okay. Now, if you're a newcomer and you're in this room, the book I am reading out of is the basic text. Okay. Usually it's in a blue cover, but if you take the blue cover out, it looks like this. Right? I use it for so much the blue cover just wore out, so I just took it off. One more thing, and then I'm going to close. A spiritual awakening is an ongoing process. We experience a wider view of reality as we grow spiritually. an opening of our minds to new spiritual and physical experience is the key to a better awareness. As we grow spiritually, we become attuned to our feelings and our purpose.
Come on.
Our purpose in life. And my purpose in life is not only loving my wife, but loving myself. Thank you.